And good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Thursday, June 4th, 2015. I am joined by Tom Moore. Aside from being an amazing oboe player, Moore has garnered a stellar reputation as an audio recording producer. He is in Sitka this week as part of the Sitka Summer Music Festival. And he's joined by Zul Bailey, the artistic director. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Tom, what are we listening to? What is this music?
We're listening to the second movement, the Adagio, from Handel's Water Music. It's a beautiful interlude between two kind of bombastic movements. This music was to be played on a barge floating down the Thames in London. So it has a lot of instruments, makes a lot of noise. But this is a great movement because it's sort of a respite.
I imagine you did not play it on the barge floating down the Thames.
We did not.
Where were you?
We played it in the First Congregational Church in Akron, Ohio, with a wonderful group that I play with back home called Akron Baroque.
Okay. Well, thank you for traveling all the way from Ohio to Sitka. How did you first pick up this instrument? Can you tell us a little bit about what the oboe is for those who actually, they think they know, but they're confusing it with the clarinet or other woodwinds?
Sure. The oboe is a member of the woodwind family, and it's a reed instrument, but particularly it's a double reed instrument. So that means that actually to produce the sound requires two reeds vibrating against each other, as opposed to an instrument like the clarinet, which has a single reed that vibrates on the mouthpiece. It is, next to the flute, it is a soprano instrument. It has one of its great assets is its vocal quality, very close to the human voice, and is used that way in orchestra.
Is that because of the double reed, or how does the double reed change the sound?
I think, you know, if in our own voices we have two vocal cords that vibrate against each other, and that's how our voice is made. And in any double reed instrument, it's how the reeds respond to the air that you're putting through it. And it's, I think, just the nature of the instrument, the way it's constructed, that lends itself specifically. It's also plays a key role in the orchestra in that it's pretty much the first instrument you will ever hear in an orchestra concert because it tunes the orchestra. So the oboe gives the tuning A, and that the orchestra takes that A, and that's how they tune.
So how do you tune yourself when you're in these orchestral environments to make sure that you're actually on target?
Well, those are secrets I don't know if I can reveal. No, I have a tuner, an electronic tuner that has some dials, and when I play, it detects the note and it tells me if I'm sharp or flat, and I can adjust. But the oboe is an instrument that does not really, it's a pretty much fixed. You can't adjust the pitch. One of the reasons why it tunes the instrument, tunes the orchestra. And sometimes a daunting responsibility.
Have you ever gotten it wrong? Have you ever sounded an A that you get a look from the violin player like, Tom, that's not.
No, but because I work very hard to make sure that never happens. But I have had some things, for example, because we're blowing into the instrument, sometimes condensation happens in the instrument. The condensation builds up in the tone hole where the actual note is sounded. And you kind of get a little burbly, a little water bubble kind of thing happening. And I will usually turn about five shades of red and blow the water out and just continue.
How did you first pick up the oboe?
Well, I grew up in Connecticut, and the community that I grew up in didn't have an orchestra program. It was only a band program.
What community was that?
It was in Vernon Rockville, Connecticut, central Connecticut on the east side of the Connecticut River. And my sisters, I have two older sisters, and one was a fantastic flutist and the other one was a fantastic clarinetist. And they definitely did not want any brass instrument in their house. So their little brother was not going to play a brass instrument, which most little brothers probably would have played. So actually my sisters picked the oboe for me. They just, ever since I was growing up and admiring them, they just said, you're going to play the oboe. You're going to play the oboe. And they would sneak into my room when I was falling asleep and tell me that I was going to be playing the oboe. And so ever since I can remember from a little boy, I have just been one. I just always wanted to play the oboe. And most people come to the oboe from another instrument, such as the flute or the clarinet, is usually the transition that happens. I started directly on the oboe and was very lucky. My sister is 9 years older than me. So when I was starting the oboe, she was studying music at the Hart College of Music in Connecticut, in Hartford, West Hartford, Connecticut. And so she had a lot of friends who were oboists and had reeds that my parents would purchase, and so I had good reeds to play on right away in a good instrument.
Wow!
And
so the carpet was really rolled out for you to play the oboe. It was a destiny you could
just
not avoid.
It made the process easier. Yes.
Yeah. Is there a lot of solo music for the oboe? The flute is kind of like the prima donna of the is one of those instruments that gets a lot of solo moments in orchestral pieces. What about the oboe?
Yeah, the flute is sort of the diva of the woodwind world. The oboe, interestingly enough, because of its historical development, has a huge amount of repertoire in the Baroque era.
And what is the Baroque era?
The Baroque is the I'll just say Bach, Handel. Those are names most commonly associated with Baroque that most people will recognize. So Bach used the oboe extensively in his sacred works, cantatas, oratorios, his passions, and all the members of the oboe family, including the oboe d'amore, which is a larger instrument, and then also the English horn, which is a fifth lower than the oboe. So there was a lot of solo orchestral writing and chamber music for the oboe then. And in the classical period, it weaned away a little bit, but we do have some incredible concertos by Mozart, who continued to write great oboe parts in his orchestral works. And then in the Romantic era, it almost completely stopped. We have very little solo work. That's when the oboe really took its time to shine orchestrally. So in the Romantic era, we have orchestral composers writing incredible music for the oboe. And then it was only in contemporary 20th century. I say 20th century only because it sounds new, but it's really not. I mean, the 1900s are the 20th century. So when composers like Strauss and then Hindemith, Poulenc, Saint-Saëns were writing, sort of rediscovered the instrument because of its development, quite frankly, had sort of entered into the modern instrument that we see today.
You are not only a stellar player, but you have also been behind the scenes producing music as an audio recording producer. For 16 years, you were with the Telarc International company, and through them earned 4 Grammy Awards. Is that correct?
That's right.
And now you have your own company called 5-4 Productions. We should note for those of you who attended the Sitka Jazz Festival that was hosted out of Sitka High, Mads Tolling, the violinist who performed on, I think it was the Saturday night performance, he was on an album that Tom Moore won a Grammy for, A Love Supreme, with the Turtle Island String Quartet. That's what they were called at the time. It's a San Francisco string band. So Mads Tolling and you have a connection, and you and Zool have a connection. The music industry seems very small. or maybe the Sitka connection is there. But Zool, you've said that you have worked with Tom in the recording studio. What is that partnership like between musician and audio recording producer?
It's of supreme trust. I mean, he gives me power to go out there and let it all loose and be myself and know that I know that whatever I'm doing, he will guide me in how it's coming through the microphones. And what that means is that, and also there's a psychology involved because there's one is very fragile when they're exposing all of this work. And so for someone to come back after, we've been doing a lot of live recordings recently where we do two concerts. So after the first concert, he'll come back and talk to me about what came through, what didn't come through, and how to make it better. Mm-hmm. But no one also likes to be criticized. You know, you want to feel like you did it very well the first time. So it's supreme trust. And we have probably 6 or 7, 8 CDs under our belt together already.
What's your latest one?
The latest one, well, we have several that haven't come out yet, but the one that just came out was a recording of the Bloch Shlomo and the world premiere of the Nico Muhly Cello Concerto that was recorded about 2 years ago.
Okay.
And we have stockpiled about 3 that will be coming out in the next 2 years, and we have 2 or 3 more projects. So we're really on a tear here, and of course what I love about it is that it's the first time in my career that I hear my cello the way through a recording that I hear it as I'm playing it.
Wow.
Which is very unique.
I can see why the trust has been formed. Well, Tom, thank you so much for coming in and Zul for joining him. Tom will be performing this afternoon at 12:30. It's a free concert that's being held at the Odess Theater if you'd like to hear some of his orchestral oboe
Mozart.
Music.
Mozart.
Who doesn't
Odess Theater is Alan Hall.
Yes, Alan Hall in the Odess Theater. Okay, and we're going to listen to some of that Turtle Island String Quartet. We've got that pulled up for you guys. Thanks so much.
Pleasure.
Thank you.